Father Johnson's picture and biography was included in the email introducing this call, as well as on the website. I won't read everything, but he's a wonderful guy, born in Dallas, spends most of his time now in Minnesota, did his seminary studies in Rome. He's been involved in a lot of different activities in Minnesota, including at one point the rector of the Cathedral of St. Paul, a National Shrine of the Apostle Paul. And in July 2012, he became the pastor of Holy Family Catholic Church in St. Louis Park. And today, just a week before Ash Wednesday, Father Joseph Johnson is going to talk to us about Lent and Lent as a time of sacrifice. And with that, I'll turn it over to Father Joseph.
Thank you, Chris, so much. Let's just begin with a little prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving and gracious Father, we ask you to open our minds and hearts, that as we prepare for this holy season of Lent, you might show us the way that using the graces of this season of penance, we might become ever more Christ-like, and we might manifest you the light of your truth and the warmth of your love to the world around us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady of Philermos, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for being a captive audience for me this morning. Happy to talk to you about Lent because it gave me an opportunity to get myself focused and prepared, as Ash Wednesday always seems to sneak up on us. So here we have a week still to go, and I thought I would propose to you some suggestions for Lent. But first thing, just to think about, what is the point of Lent? Because I think sometimes we approach it as 40 days of holding our breath. We realize that we have certain things in our life, and we're just going to say, okay, I'm going to put those aside for now. I'm going to hold my breath, and then on Easter, I can go back to just the way I was before. But I would suggest to you that that's not the right idea. That Lent is a season that's like boot camp for saints. You know, it's a time not to simply hold our breath and go back to where we were when Easter hits, but to take a step forward to become more Christ-like. You know, and this goes back to the whole heart of the message of the gospel and the most important teaching of the Second Vatican Council, which is the universal call to holiness. That is, you and I are called to be saints and nothing less. Now that seems daunting, and we can certainly excuse ourselves, right? Oh, I couldn't be a saint. Yes, you could. Don't insult God who created you. He thinks he did a pretty good job when he created you. He created you with the potential, in his own image and likeness, he created you, the potential to be holy, to be a saint, to manifest a Christ-like life. And obviously, as members of the Order of Malta, you have shown you have a seriousness that you take towards your relationship with the Lord, towards growing in holiness, which is always inspiring to me to see how our members want to really avail themselves of the resources that the Church gives in order to answer this call that we received in our baptism to become saints. And the thing we also want to think about with Lent is that it's not a dour time. You know, it's not a bunch of, oh, I guess I got to give this up, I got to give that up. The prayers of the Church talk about Lent as a joyful season. Now, that might strike us as odd. How could it be joy when we're busy giving everything up? It allows us to find true joy. You see, so much of the time, especially in our affluent culture, we live one long party. You know, we can do this today, we can go to the movies, we can go out to dinner, we can buy this, all of this. And it loses a sense of rhythm to life, which penitential seasons kind of try and like a shock treatment to get the rhythm back. And that we have seasons of preparation and seasons of celebration. You know, it's why we don't have Christmas parties in Advent. You know, that old Christmas carol, the 12 days of Christmas, it's not the 12 last shopping days to Christmas, it's 12 days starting from Christmas. But you look at the world around us, and by December 26th, all the Christmas carols are off the radio, all the trees are down, and Christmas is over. Because we lost the sense of preparation and celebration. Now, we do a lot better with Lent and Easter than we do with Advent and Christmas that way. Lent, we know, is a time of preparation. Although I challenge us to think, what do we do to celebrate Easter? If the church says we're going to have 40 days of preparation, the church then gives us 50 days, all the way to Pentecost, 50 days of celebration. And sometimes we're really good about the sacrifices of Lent, but then we don't celebrate. So we just need to get back to that rhythm and to discover true joy, which comes from knowing that we're infinitely, unconditionally loved by God. You know, if we strip away everything else from our lives and we just know that we're infinitely, unconditionally loved by God, well then, there's cause for joy. Too often we indulge in this God plus spirituality. So I can't be happy unless I have God plus this, plus that, plus the other. Lent helps us to kind of remove all those accretions and think about the joy that just comes from being infinitely, unconditionally loved by God. So obviously the three pillars of Lent, we all know them by heart: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. I'd like to run down some practical suggestions on each one of those for how to live this season. Prayer. Prayer has got to be the foundation of our lives, because prayer is contact with God. And that's what life is recognizing our connection to God, welcoming His presence. And the time I make for God gives the priority. This is how important God's love is to me. If I don't have time to pray, it doesn't mean I don't have time. It just means I'm spending my time on everything else, which means I'm saying that everything else is more important than prayer, which means everything else is more important than God, which is not living the commandment to love the Lord your God with your all, right? So this is a time in Lent to see, how are we doing on that? It's a reminder that our whole life is a journey which is directed towards God. So prayer is the way we get closer to God. So the journey that we're on, seeking heaven, says that prayer is not just a chore on my task list to be accomplished today. Prayer is a daily orientation of my life towards God. And of course, the greatest prayer, the Mass. Because here is Jesus Himself in the Holy Eucharist who comes to us. So if you're not in the habit of going to daily Mass, there's no better time to do it than now. Go to daily Mass. Find where Jesus Himself comes to us. All the joy of Christmas, of Jesus coming down to Bethlehem, you could have all of that joy every day by going to Mass and welcoming Jesus in Holy Communion. Of course, the Mass, we're especially in daily Mass, we have busy lives, and so we're in for Mass, and we stand, and we sit, and we kneel, and then we're out. Eucharistic adoration. Find a chapel of perpetual adoration, or just even duck into a church that stays open, and spend some time lingering there before the Lord. At Mass, we're doing all sorts of things. We need always to highlight that contemplative dimension, especially because we're type A Americans. We're busy accomplishing things. Instead, we just need to linger, spend time with Jesus, and deepen our friendship with Him. What a beautiful line it is in the Scriptures where Jesus says, "I no longer call you my servants, I call you friends." Well, who has to force you to spend time with your best friend? You don't. No one has to force you. You want to spend time with your friends. So let's want to pray, want to linger with Jesus in the Eucharist, because we appreciate Jesus as offering us His friendship. Now, also, we want to spend time with Our Lady. She is the first and perfect disciple. She shows us how to cooperate with God's grace. She shows us how to be a good follower of the gospel, how to become closer to Jesus. And the rosary is the number one way to do that. Now, I want to tell you something that isn't as widely known as it should be. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, now Saint Teresa of Calcutta, she was given a vision of Our Lady and a promise. Our Lady said to Mother Teresa, "Teach them to pray the rosary, the family rosary, and all will be well." Now that's a pretty good promise, all will be well. And I don't think Our Lady would lie, and I don't think Mother Teresa would lie about what Our Lady said. So I think we can count on that promise. The daily rosary, the family rosary. Now maybe if you have little kids squirming around, maybe just one decade. You know, one Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, and a Glory Be, and the Fatima prayer. And that takes, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes, whatever. Everyone should be able to do that. But if we don't have the squirmy kids and all of that, a full 5 mysteries of the rosary every day, we could do it, and that promise is worth it. All will be well. Then, of course, confession. If we're not in the habit of going regularly to confession, by that I mean a month. I can't remember what I had for breakfast last week, let alone last month. How am I supposed to remember the ways that I've been stumbling along and following God? Once a month confession is a good ratio. And always with a good examination of conscience. How can I not just kind of what I call mow the weeds, you know, the things that crop up every time and I just keep rattling them off. How can I look deeper? What are the roots of my sins and confess them? What about spiritual reading? If Lent is a time to get away from cruise control, you know, just kind of going through our faith in motions, you know, to help shake us off from that complacency that sets in, that it's just the same old routine. Spiritual reading gives us new ideas, new perspectives, new ways of looking at ourselves, new ways of looking at God, and maybe sometimes jump starts the engine. Obviously, we probably pray before meals. What about prayer after meals? You know, that's kind of fallen off. I find many Catholics haven't even heard the prayer, grace after meals. We give thee thanks, Almighty God, for all thy benefits, who livest and reignest, world without end. Amen. May the souls of the faithful depart to the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. So if that's not part of your daily routine after your meals, maybe that's Lent is a good time to add that in. And then, of course, your parishes probably have faith formation lectures, stations across, all sorts of prayer opportunities that way. Fasting is the second great pillar of Lent. And the principle here is to develop self-restraint instead of self-indulgence, to develop discipline, to be faithful in little things in order to become faithful in big ones, to train and strengthen our will in order to command our passions. So what can we fast from? We can obviously fast from food. There are only 2 days of fasting left on the church's calendar, Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. All the Fridays of Lent are days of abstinence, that is abstaining from meat. But it's fasting, that is only one full meal and 2 snacks, which are not to equal a full meal, only Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. That's not a lot. Something we can do. So, but other than that, how do we take the principle of fasting and apply it? Maybe it's no snacks between meals. Maybe it's no desserts through Lent except on a feast day. Maybe it's fasting from things other than food, like television and computer usage or social media. You know, sometimes people say to me, I don't have time to pray. I say, well, how much time do you spend on Facebook? Oh, about an hour a day. I said, well, then you have time to do FaceTime with Jesus if you're doing Facebook with everybody else. Maybe texting and phone conversations as well. We can just be more restrained. Even if it's not sinful content, it can sometimes just be wasted time that we could use for other things which are positive. Fasting also reminds us that this is a penitential season. And so can we make sure that whatever parties that we would have, we schedule those for feast days, or we wait and hold them off for the Easter season? What about fasting from noise? You know, one spiritual writer talks about the dictatorship of noise, that from the moment the alarm clock goes off in the morning till the time our head hits the pillow at night, we're constantly being bombarded with noise. Maybe it's fasting from music and other things like this to create a space of silence in our lives to foster prayer and contemplation. Maybe we listen to the radio part of the day, but don't just have it on as background for the whole day. All sorts of ways that fasting can help us and can be applied to different areas of our life. And then lastly, the third great pillar, almsgiving. Now, when we hear almsgiving, we just think money. But we need to clarify our thoughts about almsgiving. The principle at work here is self-gift. Self-gift. How do I give of myself? To overcome selfishness and self-indulgence, how do I give of myself? Because love is about self-gift. If you want to know, am I being loving right now or not? Just ask, am I giving or taking? And so what we're trying to do through almsgiving is foster generosity of heart. It's not simply about giving money. And also distinction between tithing and almsgiving. Tithing is different than almsgiving. We just both equate them to money. Tithing is a debt of gratitude that we owe to God. And the scripture sets that as 10%. In thanksgiving for the 100% that God gives us, we give 10% back. Now, this isn't a church tax. Some countries have. Part of your taxes go to the church. We don't do that. But it's also not simply a tax deduction. if we think about the way that we're stewards of our money, simply as, okay, I need to give that much away because it'll lighten my tax burden, we've lost the point. It's not about you and the IRS, it's about you and God. And so tithing is a debt of gratitude, but almsgiving is something extra. Almsgiving is something no one requires of us. The scripture offers it to as a way of growing in love of neighbor. And so almsgiving is something that we can do freely and that stretches our hearts. It's important to remember that Jesus identified mammon. That's that funny word for money or wealth. He said, no one can serve two masters, God and mammon, right? He identified mammon as the chief rival to God for our affection. So you and I live in the most prosperous society to ever exist on the face of the planet. How do we deal with that rivalry? Almsgiving is a good way to help us become more detached, more free from worldliness, so we can become more attached to God. It's not about meeting the needs of the church or supporting worthy causes. It's that I need to give sacrificially so that I become holy. And I don't want a materialism, a comfort here in the world, to rob me of a longing for heaven. And the witness that we need to give to the world around us, that our true home is in heaven, not making paradise here on earth. So just like fasting, almsgiving helps us to overcome self-indulgence and selfishness. It helps us distinguish between our needs and our wants. And let's be real, our needs are small, but our wants have never been larger. So let's use Lent to examine that distinction between needs and wants and foster generosity. Bottom line for Lent is that it's about becoming saints, not holding our breath until Easter, and it's about having joy in Jesus' merciful love as our true treasure and making space for that love in our lives. Lent is a time of self-examination, and an old theology professor told me that any budget is a theological document. Show me how you spend your time and your money, and I will tell you what's important to you. So let's use Lent to examine how we're spending our time and our resources and make sure that our priorities line up with what we say our priorities are, loving God and loving our neighbor. God bless you. Know of my prayers for a spiritually fruitful Lent. Let's all become the saints God wants us to be by cooperating with the grace of the Holy Spirit.
Well, thank you, Father Joseph. Thank you very much. That was a great deal to think about, and at least in my case, areas where I know I'm falling short. But at least I know I've got the Lenten season to try to make up some of that deficit. Again, there's a lot to think about. If you are interested in hearing a replay of this particular talk, it will be on the American Association website later on. And if you have friends who are unable to join the call, please remind them that this call, as well as the archive of past spiritual outreach calls, are available on the American Association website.